I'm sure I echo your own hearts as I say thank you to the choir for leading us in a wonderful time of singing these carols and trying to figure out what it really means. It was a few decades ago that a man came to Pune, and outside of his darshan hall in his ashram in Koregaon Park put up a sign at the entrance which read, "Please leave your shoes, footwear and your brains before entering the darshan room." It is strange that only in religion and spirituality would we dare to leave our brains at home. I don't think Tata or Bajaj have a sign in front of their entrance saying to workers, "Leave your brains at home and come to work." I don't think you would leave your brains behind when you are looking for a spouse for your children. Why do we do that? For spiritual things. I say this because we might, as we were told by our singers this morning, that we might go to the shopping malls and elsewhere and we hear these Christmas songs, but somehow we don't think the words need to be understood. It's also very surprising if Christmas within the word itself has C-H-R-I-S-T as more than half of that English word, yet Santa Claus, the Christ of Christmas. And for most of us, Christmas could easily be transformed into Santamas rather than Christmas. Who's the main character of the Christmas story? I don't see it on Main Street or in the shopping malls. I see Santa. And each time I see Santa at Christmas, or I see someone wearing a Santa cap at Christmas time, it irks my spirit because Santa doesn't belong to Christmas. Who is the Christ of Christmas? Every carol we sang today, and there are many, many more, we have to be amazed that it is only Christmas that includes Christ that has created so many poems that have turned into songs called carols. In the whole history of religion, there aren't as many songs and carols and music made as it is to Christ, the Christ of Christmas. I want to mention four things the Bible tells us about the Christ who belongs centrally to Christmas. And the first thing I want to point out to you that the Bible emphasizes about the Christ of Christmas is that he was long planned, long expected, and long predicted Messiah. The Messiah, that word really means the promised one, the one who is awaited, anointed. Some other religions, not just Judaism and Christianity, also have this longing for the Mahdi, the Messiah, the one who would break the shackles of oppression and slavery and poverty and distress and injustice, the one who would come to save people from misery. But really, when the Bible talks about the Messiah, there is only one and one reason alone that he was predicted to come, was appointed to come, was anointed to come. And that was to deal with the main problem of humankind, and that is the problem of our evil, our sin, our badness. The thing that we might not even be able to define or put our finger to. But the Bible nails it down and calls it sin. And it's good that we have a three-letter word in the English language. Because if we look at that English word, sin, and the spelling of sin, it actually defines for us what the real definition of sin should be in the simplest understanding of sin. Because in the middle of that word, in the middle of sin, is the great letter I. It's this I-ness, the ego, the id, the self, that is really humankind's problem. And Messiah was promised to be the one who would save his people from their sins. Right from before God created the heavens and the earth, God had planned that he would come. And the Bible tells us, in the words of one of the disciples of Jesus, called John, that God had to become flesh and take human form. Because, as John explains in a book that he wrote, which is in the Bible, he said, no man has seen God. No man can see God. Because he is invisible. God is spirit. And to make the invisible God visible, God took on human flesh. Jesus is God, the invisible one, who made himself visible in human flesh. This was predicted right from the time, if you have read the story of the Garden of Eden, when man called Adam and his wife Eve, the first human couple whom God created with his own hands, when they sinned, God said that he would bring to this world Messiah. The seed of a woman, born of a woman, to come and die for the removal of human being sins. Right through the history, which we call biblical history, which centers around God's choice of a people called Israel, God sent prophets who kept predicting that Messiah would come. From Moses, the first leader of the Jewish people, down to through Isaiah, or another prophet called Malachi, or another not so well known prophet called Micah, and the last prophet of the Jewish people called Malachi, God kept sending message after message that he would come in human form. And even secular historians as they analyze and as they understood what ails mankind, and philosophers who struggle to understand what is the problem of human existence began to say that there has always been a desire for salvation, a desire for deliverance, a desire for freedom from whatever is the ailment of humankind. And Jesus is even called by some philosophers as the desire of all nations. Who is the Christ of Christmas? He's the long desired one. One philosopher wrote thus: God, you created man for yourself, and man will never be at rest till he finds rest in you. The long desired one has come at Christmas. Who is Jesus Christ? I want to tell you a second thing that the Bible says about the Christ of Christmas. He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. Nay, he's not just the creator of the heavens and the earth, but he's also the creator of all humankind. He created all things, heavens and the earth, the universe, the stars, the constellations. He created the animal world. He created the trees and all of nature. And the Bible tells us that he created all that just by the word spoken. But when he decided to create a man and a woman, he used his own hands to create man and woman. With his own hands, the Bible says God created man and woman, both individually, separately, in his own image. And the God who created all things, including you and I, is the Christ of Christmas. The Bible tells us a third thing about the Christ of Christmas. He's the one, as I already mentioned and we sang about, the one who came in human flesh to save us from our sins. So when you look at images of Christ, and I hope through all the Christmas cakes and the karanjis and the dancing and the wine and the splurging and the shopping, through all that, you will see that there is a scene in some Christmas scenes of a little baby in a cowshed or a manger in a place where cattle were feeding. Because historically, and the Bible says that, there was no place for Christ to be born. He was born in a little stable. As you look at that scene of a little baby, you don't just think of that song, Mary, did you know? But I ask you, do you realize he's the long-expected Messiah? Is the creator of the universe. Why did he become a baby? The Bible explains why. Become a baby. He didn't become an adult. He could have. He didn't need to go through the process of a fetus going through a 9 months of pregnancy. And then, I hope you realize that the Christmas story includes that he grew up as a child and lived to be a young man and continued to grow till he became 30 years. And then the Bible tells us at the age of 30 he began to go out on the streets of Judea among the people called the Jewish people, and he started teaching and doing wonderful miracles. Why did he have to go through that long period of being a human being? The Bible tells us so that he could experience. Hey, this is so encouraging. He could experience every pain, every limitation, every sorrow, every trial, every bit of suffering that human beings go through. He could also be battered by grief and temptation, deprivation. And you know what the Bible says? He lived a perfect life. And he became that perfect human life so that anyone who holds on to him and believes in him and puts their trust in him can know that there is a Jesus who can absolutely stand with you and say, I really fully understand what you go through. Let me quote a verse from one of the letters written in the Bible by an unknown author who loved Jesus. He said, Jesus was in every way tempted, just as you and I could ever be. Anyone could ever be. He went through every pain, sorrow, and struggle that any human being could ever go through. He did not sin. He did not complain. He went through all that so that he can become a sympathetic priest. Someone who can say, I really understand and be absolutely true to his word. I really understand what you're suffering. I really know you. And I can take you through this. But there's even more to this. When Jesus became a human being and went through all those 33 years, not only is he God who came in human flesh, but he is God who in his human flesh lived a perfectly sinless life so that he could do exactly what God said was needed to remedy man's main problem, which is sin. He became the perfect sacrifice for sin to fulfill God's demand, because God had said that sin has to be paid for by the penalty of death. And a verse was quoted, the wages of sin is death. We've broken God's laws. We've gone our own ways. And when God, who knows best, because He's the Eternal One and eternally wise, infinitely wise, He knows that only He in His human flesh could become the perfect one who could die for a multitude of human beings and be a sufficient payment, penalty for the sins of all mankind. So He became flesh, lived a perfect life, so that He could be the perfect sacrifice on your behalf and mine, if we believe in Him to take away our sins. And then to transfer to us sinners who place our trust in Him His perfect human holiness. So that when we put our trust in Him, God in Christ Jesus, the Christ of Christmas, takes away our sins into His account and gives us His human righteousness and puts it in our account, so that when God looks at us, any one of us who surrenders our life to Jesus Christ, no longer as sinners, but as those who have been made righteous in Christ. He's the long expected but predicted Messiah. He's the creator of heaven and earth. He's the God who came in human flesh to save us from our sins. But the Bible tells us one more thing about the Christ of Christmas. He's the one who not only came, lived, taught, did great wonderful works, who died, but He's the one who rose again and is in heaven, but promised to come back again. There's a lot to say about this Jesus coming back again. Most of us have heard the word Armageddon. If not from the Bible, we may have seen advertisements of a film called Armageddon. The word Armageddon is used all over the place to speak about the final war. The Bible puts true content into the word Armageddon, because it says, the Bible teaches us that when this baby who was born, who lived a perfect righteous life, who died, rose again and went to heaven, He's coming again. He will come first of all to take all those who are believers in Him to be with Him forever. And then He will come again to rule on earth for 1,000 years, so that there will be a demonstration for 1,000 years of justice and equity and righteous rule. After that 1,000 years, the Bible says this Jesus will face the rebellious nations of the world who refuse to believe in Him under the authority and kingship of the fake king called Satan. And there will be a war centered around the place we know as Israel, in a place called Armageddon. That's what Armageddon is about. There's a place called Megiddo where there will be the final war between Jesus and Satan, who leads all the nations of the world against the real king, whose name is Jesus. And Satan will finally be defeated and thrown into an eternal hell with all those who refuse to come under the Lord Jesus Christ. And he will be king forever in a new heavens and new earth, where only those who belong to Jesus Christ will live forever, infinitely and eternally. Who is the Christ of Christmas? The Bible says he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth, your Creator. All this is just summary. We can tell you more if you want to know more. But you know, it's impossible to apologize for the words written very clearly in the Bible and spoken very emphatically by the Christ of Christmas. He stood in front of the people when he was here on earth, and he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody can come to God the Father without me." What did that mean? Unapologetically, without compromise, in no uncertain terms, without any doubt, without any gray, without any flexibility, giving no room for misunderstanding, Jesus said, if you don't put your trust in him, if you don't believe in him, you cannot know God. And every claim you make to know God, any claim you make to say that you are a religious person or that you are spiritual, without Jesus Christ being central in your life, is a false claim. And therefore, when the church began, the church had to preach this, and it's recorded in the Bible. It was quoted during our singing time. The preachers of the church would always emphasize the truth that we unapologetically will also preach, that there is no other name given among men in heaven or in earth except Jesus Christ, by whom you can be saved. Saved from what? Go back to the birth of Jesus Christ. The angel told both Mary, the Virgin, and Joseph, the foster father, the earthly father of the baby Jesus, "You will call his name Jesus, because he will save His people from their sins. What's the main ailment, the main problem, the main issue, the main deliverance human beings need, you need, I need? It's the deliverance from sin. Who is the Christ of Christmas but the one who came to save you from your sins? He offers you freedom. He rescues you from sin. He breaks the shackles of bad habits, evil thoughts, the shackles of the ego, the self, the I that is in the middle of your sin. You know, Jesus stood one day and he said to people, because it says in the Bible, when he looked at people, he had compassion. And he was moved with compassion. He felt that people needed a shepherd. And he said, come to me. Come to me. All of you. Any one of you who is tired of life, tired of carrying your own burdens, come to me and I will give you rest. Will you come to Jesus if you've never done so before? As I bow my head, will you bow your head and heart? And think about, do you know the Christ of Christmas? Do you know the one who came to save you from your sin? Dear God, we thank you that when we know Christ who came at Christmas, we can dare to call you Father. And so I call you Father. And I pray that many here will be able to call you Father without fear, without embarrassment, and I pray for those who can't, Lord, pray that you would help them to understand who you are and why you sent Jesus. You want to save them from their sins. And so we ask that you would help them to not put their brains away, but to consider the meaning of the words of all the songs we sang. All the songs they will hear, the message of the songs and what I have said this morning. And I pray that they would be able to respond to what they understand. That the shackles of family fear, of what people might think, of any misunderstanding about the message of Christ, will fade away, and that they might embrace the Christ, the Savior from sin of Christmas. We ask in His precious name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of God's Spirit rest upon each one of you. Amen.